So, as you saw, something new. Not something new, but we're just revamping it. Grow 55 and 25. That is the vision of our church, okay? We pair this with our mission to love God, love people, reach the world. And today marks the beginning of this six-month journey that we're going to be calling Planted to Grow, Becoming the Church that God Uses. Amen? So this isn't just going to be another sermon series or something else. This is a reset, a refocus, a challenge for us to recommit to the mission that God gave us, to love God, love people, reach the world. Okay, it's this rallying cry for our vision to grow 55 and 25. Okay, it is 6 months that we still have. God can move mountains in a fraction of the time. So we have faith that God continues to build, all right? And if a church is truly rooted in loving God, loving people, reaching the world, then it cannot help but share the gospel. It can't help but share the good news of Christ to others in our community. And that's what this season is all about. Because here's the truth. The deeper that we're rooted in Jesus Christ, the further our reach becomes. Have you ever seen a massive tree? If it was held by shallow roots, the moment the wind hits, the moment the storm comes, the moment the little kids comes and pushes you, it'll fall over. But a tree with deep roots, a life deeply rooted in Christ, stands the test of time, stands through the storms. And that is what our goal is. That is what we're going to be talking about. That is what we're going to be getting into, is that we want to be a church that is deeply rooted in the gospel. Because when we love God, love people, and reach the world, we are going to make an impact. And if we as a church are going to make an impact, if we're going to reach out to the community, we too have to be deeply rooted in Christ. Make sense? Amen? So this is the moment. This is the season. Because as a church, we're going to come together, a church that's truly on mission, and be obedient to living out that mission that God gave us. And to show what it looks like, we have life example, right? We have people in our life that come to us. We have people that spoke into our life. When we love God, we learn who God is. And the best way to love God and learn who God is to be deeply rooted in Jesus Christ. And when we see who Jesus Christ is someone who deeply loved God. And because of his love for God, he deeply loved people. And because of that love, he reached the world. And when we as people, when we as Christians, we as servants of Christ live our life in the same way, our life shares the gospel with others. Our talking, how we act, how we treat each other, shares the gospel with others. And that is the impact we want to make. So to show what this is like in real life, I want to invite up somebody. You all know him, okay? But I want to invite him up to share a testimony of what it looks like when the mission is an action to reach people. I'll move my step.
Morning, church. Morning. I said good morning, church. Morning. When I say Jesus, y'all say Christ. Jesus. Christ. Jesus. Christ. Man, y'all look good in that audience, man. Y'all beautiful and smiling and stuff. Pastor Ian asked me to kind of share my testimony. God's been putting on my heart to actually write a book about all the stuff that I went through in my life. And so this year, by my birthday in December, I want to make sure that I have that out because I want to be obedient to Christ. Amen? So to start, how did I come to Christ? My amazing mother, Shelley, she was a wonderful example of what it looked like to be a devoted woman of Christ. So shout out to all the women, all the moms in this room that is being that example to your kids and also to the dads as well. So my mom, beautiful woman of Christ, we grew up Pentecostal. If you don't know what that means that it was a lot of speaking in tongues in the church. Amen. Right. And so we grew up Pentecostal, and she, I don't know, the way that she like lived her life. Like, I remember just seeing her like stress, like she wasn't stressing per se, but she would cry about like how she was going to pay for the bills. And I'll explain a little bit why later, but she was crying, but she wasn't just crying. She was crying to the Lord. It's a big difference. And to see her cry out and submit to God was something that I would say really changed me. So when my dad passed away from cancer when I was 12, growing up, seeing that example, obviously life got hard. Life got difficult, right? I had to step up and become the man of the family, because I think in one of the poems I wrote it like this. As one of the men that I love was rotting on the inside from cancer, my other role model, which was my brother, was rotting in a prison cell. So I didn't have a lot of positive male role models immediately in front of me. And so as my dad, like before he passed away, he got baptized. And so I found out later, actually in my 30s, I found out that my dad was actually supposed to be a pastor. And so just seeing how God weaved everything together and how eventually it got to me is just crazy. Even my mom's side is just crazy. But my dad got baptized, which encouraged my sisters and I, and my brother Anthony as well. We actually end up getting baptized with him about, I want to say, 6 months before he passed away. And so that was a blessing. And that was like my first step into like taking my faith seriously, because I seen the men and women in my life do it, right? And so I'm going to just go through like love God, love people, reach the world. That's how my testimony is going to go. So after my dad passed away, obviously I was broken, y'all. I was devastated. Like, I did not know. My foundation was my dad. Like, just imagine, like, the man that you look up to, you know, 240 pounds, right, probably 5'11", ends up being 120 pounds, right? You can see the bones on his ribs as he's walking. And he had to discipline me while he was, like, on his deathbed, and that's something that really made me change. He had to give me a whooping, because when I found out that he had 6 months to live, I went crazy. Right, as a sixth grader, I went crazy. I ended up getting 180 referrals in that school year. OCS, or they call it on-campus suspension, that was my primary classroom, right? So after that, I got expelled from that school, ended up having to go to another school, actually out here in Antioch. And then I got expelled, then eventually they let me come back to that school. But about time seventh grade came, I eventually changed my life, because I realized that my bad behavior wasn't doing nothing positive to affect my mom. And so I ended up changing my behavior, and I started to like listen to my pastor at church, similar to a small church like this. I started to actually listen to my childhood pastor, and he started talking about this Jesus guy who loves you unconditionally, and he would be like a spiritual father to you and all of this. So I started to tune in, and eventually my childhood pastor, he eventually convinced me just through his sermons. Like, I wouldn't even say he convinced me. The Holy Spirit was working inside of me. And eventually I said, you know what? I'm going to be sold out for Jesus at this point. And so fast forward to high school, you know, I was on the basketball team. So I started to develop a relationship with God, but basketball became my idol. I love the game of basketball. I still love it. But they say that when you worship something, it's something that you do consistently. Well, I was in the basketball gym at 6 in the morning, 2 or 3 times a day, outside late at night. You would find me on the court because I wanted to get a basketball scholarship. That was my number one goal. I wanted to prove everybody wrong. I knew my mom was a single mom. She couldn't afford to send me to college. And so I said, I'm going to work. I'm going to grind. And so basketball became my idol. And so eventually what happened was my senior year came. I ended up playing basketball all throughout high school. My senior year came. I was at a party, and I had lied to my girlfriend, who is now my wife. Shout out to you, babe. I ended up lying to her and telling her that I was going to go to the movies with my friend, but we ended up going to a party. So at this party, we dancing. We having an interesting time, I'll say. And next thing I know, I hear gunshots. I duck. I run out. And next thing I know, I hear like 12, 13 more gunshots. And basically, I end up getting shot. My homeboy end up saying, man, there's something on your back. So I touch my back. There's blood on my back. And the paramedic said, 3 more inches and we would have been leaving you here in a body bag. So it was at that moment that I realized that God had something special for me and he chose me. And before I even went to that party, there was this scripture, Matthew 22:14. And that scripture, for many are called, but few are chosen, it really started to resonate on my mind and on my heart. And so I realized that God chose me. Now, after that party, I got rushed to the hospital. And I used to post Don't Forget to Pray on Facebook every single night when I was in high school. And even sometime throughout college. My wife said that I became a trending topic on Twitter because all my classmates, all the people I know, they posted and said, don't forget to pray for Jermaine. And I became a trending topic on Twitter. So it was in that moment that I realized that God really chose me to do more than what I was doing. Like, if I had to be convicted of being a Christian in high school, I would have been proven innocent because I was lukewarm. I say I was a Christian, but my actions didn't reflect it. Does that make sense? So then I'm going to transition over to love people. So as I was going through all of these traumatic things in my life, God sent my freshman basketball coach, Coach Howard Revel. He sent them into my life. And I found out 5 years ago, I actually was supposed to get cut from my freshman basketball team. So it's just crazy, like, to see how God really weaved everything together. So my freshman basketball coach ended up begging the varsity coach to keep me on the team because of my work ethic. He's like, man, this guy doesn't have the best skill, but I promise you, like, he's going to be something special someday. So my freshman basketball coach ended up becoming a father-like figure to me. So he ended up taking me on driving tests and helped me practice driving. And he ended up taking me to DMV to actually practice and get my license. And he actually helped me fill out my college application. So Coach Howard Revel, God sent him in my life to be a man, to be a father-like figure to me when I needed a father-like figure. Amen? And God, I'm sure, has done the same thing for many of you in this room. He sent men and women in your lives to be that uncle, auntie, mom, dad, coach, whenever you need it. Amen? So another person I want to give a big shout out to is my cousin, Lijon. He would always just pour into me. I would say God used him, even though he wouldn't look like a Christian on paper. He really poured into me and said, Jermaine, like, you're going to be something special. Like, you're going to do things to change the world. Now, reflecting back on it as a 32-year-old, I'm like, maybe he wasn't talking about changing the world of the 7 billion people, but maybe my immediate world, the paradigm that I live in. I think it's all making sense now. And my wife as well. I went through some childhood trauma, and my wife helped show me that despite all the things that I went through, he's using the pain in those things to groom me and to show me why he chose me. So I want to give a big shout out to my wife for that. And then the next thing is reach the world. So reach the world, I would say, after the shooting, I promised God that I would create something to honor him. And thus, that's where Chosen Training came from, the Chosen Ministry came from. So it's crazy because now that I reflect back on it, it's like it came full circle. Like, this church building, God used this church building to allow me to baptize some of my freshman basketball players. And I can say that that was the fruit that was born from him saving me from being shot all those years ago. But it could even go back even further than that. The Bible says that God chose us before the foundations of the world. He says that he knows the very number of hairs that's on our head. That's intentional about how God loves and cares about us. All the tears that we cry that nobody sees, he collects them. Amen? And he uses those same tears to water us so that way we can grow and eventually produce fruit. I appreciate you guys. That's my time. And I'm going to close with this by saying that God has planted seeds inside of everybody in this room. There's a book that you need to write. There is a business that you need to start. There's people in your immediate family or extended family that God wants to use you to help pour into and build. So my question for you, and I'm going to close with this, is what are you waiting for? This is your chance. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jermaine.
it all starts with being rooted in Christ. Think about Jermaine's story, and it's amazing, and I know there's a lot more to it, and like he said, he can write a book, and I hope he does. Because when it starts with people who love God and live their life to love God, and they realize and start to see who Jesus Christ is, and they realize, okay, to love God like Jesus Christ loves God, I have to start loving people. And when you start loving people the way that Christ loves people, the way that people poured into Jermaine, amazing things happen, like Chosen. And that's for everyone. Because that's what happens when we live out our mission to love God and love people. We cannot help but reach the world around us. But it starts with being rooted in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to open up to Colossians 2 and just read verses 1 through 7. And it says, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those in Laodicea and for all those who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So before we grow outward, we must be rooted inward. Okay, in Jesus Christ, we need to be rooted. And Paul writes to the believers in Colossae from prison, longing for them to be united in love, encouragement in heart, and grounded in truth. In Colossians 2, 1 through 5, Paul is contending for their hearts, not just their theology. He wants them to fully grasp the riches, so that they won't be deceived by smooth-sounding arguments and false philosophies. He celebrates their discipline and their firm foundation and their firm faith, but he knows they must grow and that growth must continue. And church, this is where I see us. I see a faithful group, a disciplined church, but growth must continue. When we stop growing, when we stop being rooted, and we stop reaching out to the community, we are no longer doing what God has called us to do. We are no longer living out the mission to love God, love people, and reach the world. So in verses 6 through 7, he gives us this charge, this moment to like all forward. It kind of reminds me of Braveheart when they're about to go, and he's just like, and they just run, and it's just pretty gnarly. But I just imagine that mindset. And he says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This is the key, that we continue in Christ the same way that we started, in faith. And we live rooted deeply in Him. And this is not shallow Christianity. This is not a surface level life. This is a life that draws strength, wisdom, courage, commitment, and direction from the deep soil of God's grace and truth. So just like I said, that tree with shallow roots It cannot withstand the storms that the world will throw at it. The storms that will come, it will just be knocked over. But with deep roots, it will stand the test of time. But what does that directly look like for us as a church? What does it look like for us in our life? It looks like building of habits of prayer, giving thanks, serving each other, fellowshipping together. It looks like all this, choosing to obey God's word even when it's hard. Even when we read it and we're like, I'm going to close the book. That chapter's a little rough. I'm going to wait till tomorrow. The word of God is not like a diet that you're going to start the next day. It starts now. And being rooted is how we obey God's word, even when it's hard. It looks like letting the words of Christ dwell within us richly so we can reach further. And it's not just on Sundays, but it's in small groups, coffee shops, dinner tables, classrooms, break rooms that we reach out to. So being rooted, remember, is not about perfection. Being rooted is about connection. Just like Jesus reminds us, and he remained connected to the Father through prayer, we remain connected through a relationship of prayer that is ongoing, intimate, and personal. When you look at Jesus' life, when you look at who he was and what he did, he made such an impact. Hold on. He made a huge impact. And it's one of the things that I'm learning as a person, as a pastor, that Jesus, living in his example, he made a big impact because he was in prayer so much. Now, I pray. Don't get me wrong. I pray. But Jesus lived in prayer. He lived in connection with the Father. He communicated, and he did not leave the Father's house in his mind, in his heart. He stayed there. He was rooted firmly in God. And that's the example that we live by. If we want to live like Christ in our life, if we want to be like Christ, we need to be connected to the Father through Christ. So we need to pray. We need to commit. We need to begin our day in prayer. And when you filter your decisions through Scripture, and when you ask for wisdom and yield to God's leading, you are going to dig your roots deeper and deeper. Because when we understand this, when we read this, when we read his word and we say, okay, I want to make this decision on a Friday night. I want to make this decision on a Saturday. I want to do these things, but God tells me no. God tells me to wait. God tells me to hold on for a minute. And in those moments that you're like, that's when we pray. That's when we stop. That's when we say, God, you are telling me something right now. I need to live in that. And when we start making those decisions, so what does this mean for us? It means that we are free to grow deep, that we are free to live for Christ, that we are free. We don't have to let the shame hold us back. We don't have to let legalism and keep us from freedom. We don't have to fear for trust. We don't have to strive for resting. We have rest in Christ. And when we realize that our identity is in Christ and through Christ, all we have to do is live with Christ. There's a saying that I always say, and it's one of those things, it makes sense to me, so if it doesn't make sense to you, I apologize. But I always think to myself that Christianity is one of the easiest hard things that you'll ever have to do. Because it literally is the easiest thing in the world. Follow Christ. Follow God. It's that simple. He made it that simple for us. He was nailed to the cross. So everything that's holding us back, all the thoughts, all the damages, all the brokenness in the homes, everything that's going on was nailed to the cross. But then it's the hardest thing that we ever have to do, because what it requires is surrender. It requires us to let go. It requires us to say, God, take this from me. I don't know what it is about human life that we want to put this bag on and we're like, this is horrible, this is rough. And somebody's like, let me take that from you. No, 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 I got it. We're prideful. But we need to humble ourselves before Christ and be like, why am I doing this? You paid the debt. You set me free, yet I don't know what to do. It's like we've heard of this, and it's sad, and I know, but when a dog is left in like a cage and not cared for, and everything is just stuck in that cage, their mindset begins to believe that that is all they know. Even to the point when the door is open for them, they stay sitting there because they forgot what it was like to be free. How many of us are sitting in this room, still sitting in that cage, that God came and Jesus Christ opened the door and said, come on. And we're sitting there cowering back in the corner of our life going, I'm going to hold on to this for a minute, because while I know that I'm free now, or you tell me I'm free, I don't know what's out there. How many of us stop ourselves from doing that? But there's beauty in this truth. Because we have been set freed by Christ, we are freed to grow deeply for him. We're not chained to guilt. We're not chained to all of it. But it means that letting go of what we're holding on to, so we can be freed to do Christ's work in our life. There's nothing that the devil wants more in your life than to keep those little things on your shoulders, to keep those little things holding you back, to keep those invisible chains from you going out to a world for Christ. Because when that person comes up and says, who are you? You cuss just like me. I just saw you at the bar the other night. I just saw you do that. And we're like, oh. And we freeze and we don't want to talk about it. But all you have to say is, I know, I'm a sinner. I'm not denying that I'm a sinner, but I'm freed by Christ. I'm not holding on to it. I'm not holding on to that guilt. We are freed, but we are freed to grow deep in Christ. So for our church to grow out there, let's grow deeply here. And I know we are all from different walks of life. We have different things going on. I'm not saying that someone's more spiritual than the other. None of that. What I'm saying is, until the day comes that Christ returns, we all have room to grow. So as a church, as a body of believers, let's grow deeper in the foundation of Christ, so our roots run so deep from Antioch Wesleyan Church that we can reach further out than we ever have before. Because at times, sometimes it seems like we can't even reach across the street because we feel broken or things are going on and we're just like, what are we talking about? We can't go out there. Yes, we can. But in order to go out there, we have to be rooted in here. And that's what we're going to be doing this next 6 months. We're going to get so rooted in Christ that it's we're going to sit there and we're going to be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is fast. We're growing now. But I want us to be so rooted in Christ and so watered by the Holy Spirit that those branches just start shooting across the sky. When people are like, oh, I didn't know there was a church here. You can barely see the sign. I don't care about the sign. Do you feel the Holy Spirit? Because it's over in Berkeley. It's over in Brentwood. It's over in Pleasant Hill. It's just flooding where we are. And church, we do not have to do that because of us. We do it because of Christ. When we sit here and go, we can't accomplish that, guess what? I know we can't, but Christ can and already did. So let's just jump on that bandwagon and go and live for it and be the church. So what I want to do really quick, and I'm going to fly through the rest of this, is that we need to be rooted in prayer. So I'm going to invite someone who sounds better than me, my lovely wife, and we're going to pray. Let's just stop for a minute. I'm going to take a drink of water because I'm dying. But let's calm down for a minute, and let's just pray. Because it's not about our strength, it's about God's. So let's pray for that this morning.
Hi, church. Good morning. All right, I'll have you guys please bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to go to the Lord together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, first off, please quiet our minds, quiet our hearts, Lord, the anxious thoughts we carry, the heavy burdens that we drag with us. Father God, I ask you to take those away. We invite your Holy Spirit to pour into this room right now. Father God, I pray that each and every person sitting here, Lord, feels your Spirit pour into them physically right now, Father God. I pray, Lord, that the roots you've called us to grow, I pray, Lord, that we trust you, that they will grow, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we will seek you. You promise us in Jeremiah, when we seek, we will find you. When we seek you with all of our heart. So, Father God, I ask right now for your strength, for your guidance, that we seek you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our thoughts, Father God. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that it is that you've given us today, Lord. Your mercies are new every morning, and today is a new day to start again, Lord. Today is a new day to reach to you deeper and more truly, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you intercede in our church. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit fill our roots so deeply, Lord, that they grow and grow. And like Pastor Ian said, the roots and the branches just shoot out beyond our understanding. Lord, we know that with you, you bring the peace that goes beyond understanding. In the chaos of life, when things feel like it's out of our control, that there's no way this can get better, there's no hope for us, Lord. We know that through you, you are the hope, Father. So we ask for your strength. We ask for you to continue to carry us, Lord. I pray, Lord, you increase that hunger in our hearts, Lord, that hunger for you to love God, to love people, and to reach our community, to reach our neighbors, reach our friends, reach our families, Lord. Help us to not be scared. Help us to set aside any just distractions that we're carrying, any excuses that we're holding on to. Father God, we know that all things done in secret will be brought to light. And Lord, I pray that any of those secrets that we're holding, Father, I pray, Lord, you shine your light so bright so that those will go away and growth can happen, Lord. Father God, I just pray for any of those that may be hurting, Lord. I pray for any sicknesses, for any broken hearts, any depression, Father God. We are a hurting church, Lord. We are broken people. But Lord, we are loved by a Father who is the greatest healer of all. So, Father God, just continue to pour into us. Let your Holy Spirit fill us completely. Help us to grow closer to you, stronger together, Lord, so we can reach those around us that you've called us to. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Feels different, right? When we take that moment and pause, when it's not about us, and we say, God, fill us. And that is how we start growing deep roots in the church. By living for Christ, loving him so we can love people and reach the world. And roots matter. Roots matter for stability. In a world that shakes us with trials, stress, spiritual warfare, deep roots keep us anchored. In Psalm 1, it says, the righteous are like a tree planted by streams of water, unmoved in dry seasons. And that's because they're close to Christ. Roots nourish growth. So a tree draws strength from its roots. In the same way, we draw strength from the nourishment of Christ in our life. We might look like a tree. We might look like it. But the moment we cut that off, the moment we separate ourselves from Christ in our life, we don't have the nourishment to grow further. We get stunted in our growth, and we actually start recoiling a little bit. So we need to be nourished through Christ. And roots enable reach. Because a tree can only grow tall and wide if its root system is strong. And the deeper we are in the soil of Christ, in his good soil, the stronger we will become as a church. So we want to reach the community, but to do that, we must be deeply rooted in Christ. So what does this mean for you, for us as a church? It means that we start daily with faithfulness. We open our Bibles. We pray with expectation. We show up in fellowship. We serve someone in love, and we live out the life of Christ. And that's what's going to deepen our roots. And Jesus was rooted in his relationship with the Father. And because of that system, because of that connection, the mission was moved through Christ. And that same mission is here today, and that same mission is this mission that moves us in our lives. Jesus was rooted in God, in the Father. And because of that, he was able to show compassion. He was able to love more deeply. He was able to see people through a different lens. And he was able to reach further than ever before because of God, because of the Father. And now we carry that same mission, to love God, love people, and reach the world. And when we love God the way that Jesus loved, we cannot help love people the way that Jesus loved people, because we will see people the way Jesus sees people. And when we do that, we will not be unable to reach the world around us. Even if we are like, this is crazy, this is fast, this is going on, growth moves regardless if you are rooted in Christ. So let's be rooted in Christ. But remember something very important. We are not a church to build walls. We're not a church to build barriers. We are a church to build bridges. We are to build bridges to Jesus Christ. So when people come in here, they're like, wow, this feels different. Yeah, it's because we're broken. We're not denying it. We're not lying about it. We want you to come in here with us, because it's in Christ that we find strength. It's in Christ that we're nourished, and we want to share that with you. We're no different from them out there. The only difference is, in some ways, is that we have Christ, and we need to share Christ with them. It's not of ourselves, right? It is the gift of God, and we need to share that with them. We need to open the doors to welcome everyone in, to point people to Jesus Christ, and we don't do this through traditions and repetition, but because of a deep-rooted love for God. And we stay connected to God. And when we stay connected to God, that is why we have this vision to grow 55 and 25. To give intentionally, reach consistently, obey faithfully, and worship deeply. Because I truly believe that God is speaking to us through this and says, if you grow deeply in me, to reach faithfully out there, to reach consistently out there, obey faithfully in my word, and worship me deeply, God will grow our church. Not by us, but because of him. So here's the challenge. New things are on the horizon. This 6 month is going to be fun, it's going to be fast, it's going to be energetic, and it's going to be wild at some times. So tighten those bootstraps, put on your seatbelt, because we're growing and we're going, because that's what God has called us to do. But the challenge is, if there's opportunities to serve, opportunities to lead, opportunities in ministry roles, places to grow, places to lead, if you feel stirred, if you feel called, let's step into that. Come talk to me. Let's grow together. Because we are planted for a purpose. And we are planted to grow. Nothing that gets planted is planted to just wither away. The intent to plant something is to grow it. Antioch Wesleyan Church was planted here in this community for a specific reason, and we just need to be faithful to God for that reason. But are you committed to growing? Are you committed to growing deeper in the love of Christ? Are you committed to growing deeper in knowledge of Him? To take the steps that say, I'm going to read His word, but then I'm going to feel convicted. But because of that conviction, I'm going to grow deeper, correct myself, and show Christ to the world around me. So let's commit to that for the next 6 months and beyond. 6 months is just a starting point. It's just to build the momentum. But it goes on and on until the day Christ comes. Amen? Let's pray.